What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
You got Ken and Beezy, Sophie and Mike, feet for a ride. The people want to know, is the mic still on? I'm saying.
Thank you for listening to the Is the Mic Still On podcast. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for sharing the show. Thank you for participating in this community. Lots of great conversations happening on Reddit. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/isthemicstillon. Just go to Instagram, instagram.com/isthemicstillon. Click the Linktree link in the bio, and you can find all of our communities there. Be sure to check out other podcasts we have on the network, addedpodcast.com. Make sure you check out the new podcast we're producing and putting out, the Low Mid Podcast. And one of the members on the Low Mid Podcast is filling in for Mike this week.
What's up? What's up? Huey Revolution. Go check out the Low Mid Podcast, youngest podcast in the world.
You said the youngest podcast in the world?
Yeah.
Y'all might be right, though. That's funny.
Really great show thus far. So,
what y'all talk about on the podcast?
Everything, man. We talk about everything. Like, we do trending topics, and then we do like a different top three list every week. Like last week, we did top three movies, and then we do like show and tell, where we just talk about like just random shit, just everything. And sometimes we do like new wave album reviews.
How many people on the podcast?
It's me, Ramil, and then my friend Nemo. So it's just three of us. But you know, we might start having guests and stuff.
Yeah. So the last one they did is about YouTube rappers, which I didn't know was a thing. So it was really interesting.
That's part of that whole wave I was telling you about.
Yeah.
Like Instagram, YouTube, like people popping off on that.
Yeah. It was interesting.
So Huey, how are you guys getting received? Like, what are people saying about it?
I've been surprised at like, you know, the amount of like positive comments that like I've been seeing. So it's really been dope. Like people have been supporting it, and it's been like a lot of like people around our age or younger that's like, you know, yeah, I've been wanting to hear somebody talk about like new wave rap and stuff, because the older people usually just shit on us. So yeah, it's been dope.
So anyway, want to kind of do what we did last week, you know, with What's On Your Mind. I thought the feedback was kind of cool. People definitely took to your story, FIFO. And seeing you, best wishes and
yeah, I saw that
all
on
the
Twitter.
Feels. Okay, yeah. So that was dope. That was pretty good feedback.
Yeah, I
so.
Appreciate the people, man. I really do. You know, I kind of needed that. Like it just hit me hard.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? It was crazy.
Yeah. All right. So who want to go first?
You go first. Go ahead. Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. I'll go first.
Kick it off.
Yeah. Here's what annoys me.
Oh God.
People that drive with their high beam lights on. I just don't understand it.
Are you driving slow in front of them?
No, they're just driving this way, like at night. There needs to be a way we can flash them back and let them know they have their
like honk in the back.
Something like that. Something, because sometimes they'll have a bulb out, so they'll drive
with the high beams.
Yeah, with the high beams on, so they won't get a ticket. I mean, I've done it.
We've all done it.
You know, I am courteous, and I do turn it off when I come around, you know, some cars. I'm not driving on the highway like that. Turn
the
shits off. And sometimes they'll have, like, and it's hard to tell between whether it's the high beams or, because, and FIFO, you may know, they have these real bright LED lights now.
Uh-huh. Here's the thing. The main way to tell the difference is if it's in your rear view, in your eye, like a regular car, because obviously a truck is higher, so it'll just be naturally in your eyes. But if a regular car's headlights are in your rear view mirror, that's not supposed to happen. So they're using their high beams.
Yeah. Mm.
So you're saying the high beams when they're behind you?
Yeah, when they're behind me.
Because it'd be blinding you.
Yeah.
And then the way it reflects off of all of the, like the signage and stuff like that, that'd be hella bright.
You don't have the dimmers in your cars?
I shouldn't have to do
dimmers.
That.
Dimmers?
Yeah, it's like a dimmer. Like even in old.
What, dim my windshield?
No, the rear view.
Your rear view.
Mirror.
Yeah, you can put, flip it and it'll go up.
Oh, you didn't know that?
Yeah.
What? I have a button on mine. I can just press the button and it'll
must be nice to have gadgets.
Oh, yeah, I don't have that.
You know, German engineering, you know, welcome to the family, right?
Yeah.
But I know one time, it was years ago, way back in the 90s, we used to drive around with CD cases. So I was on a country, you guys know I'm from Mississippi, so I was on a country back road and somebody was behind behind me, and he had his high beam lights on. So I took a CD that I had and turned it around and rolled.
Wow, you're crashed.
That's funny as fuck.
Y'all be thinking that way is funny. Too hard on, it worked. On the road. Because your last story was about people driving in the slope. I feel you on that. But yeah, man, it's just sometimes I just like whatever, man.
Yeah. Anyway, that's yeah. Just like, that's my annoyance.
But yeah, like anybody else. Like, I mean, you could just dim it though.
I shouldn't have to do that.
But it's easier. It's easier to just dim your.
Unless
your
you don't have that.
Everyone has it.
Yeah.
Everyone has it.
Because everyone has it.
Show it to me.
It's not necessarily, in every car, it's not a dimmer. In his car, because he has a German vehicle now, it dims. However, you have like this little lever at the bottom. When you flip it, what it does is it moves it up and you kind of see the reflection underneath. So if there's something that's bothering you there, you can still use your rear view, but it's not going to blind you. I'll show you, Sophie.
It's in your car. It's like a little black.
I thought that just opened the window.
What?
I don't know.
Nah, you too.
It's right. On the rearview mirror.
Honestly, don't ask me questions about cars. Because the longest, no, like, I'm not going to lie. I used to think that, like, the rainwater used to collect and, like, that's what, like, was your fluid to clean your windshield.
Wow.
I used to think that.
Wow.
That I didn't know you had to get it changed.
Jesus Christ. Do you have a brother?
I do.
He's younger or older?
He's older. He's 6 years older than me.
And he
failed.
Yeah, he did.
Well, you know
he
what?
He probably didn't think he would have to bring
do you know
that
how to
up.
Change a tire?
I thought you were about to say oil. Oh my God.
That's different. That's a little bit more involved. But do you know how to change a tire?
No, but I know how to call somebody to come change my tire.
You need to know how to change a tire.
Why would I know how to change my tire?
Because you never know where you might be and you need to change it ASAP to get the hell up out of there. You black, Sophie, in America.
I'm calling an Uber, period.
What?
Uber don't work everywhere.
What you mean?
Like, in my old lady's town of Virginia, they don't have Uber yet.
Really?
Yes.
She need to move.
Mm-hmm. Well, she don't live there no more, obviously.
Well, good.
I'm just saying.
I'm sorry.
Well, good.
But all I'm saying is that you can be stuck in a place that does not have Uber. Uber is not worldwide. Everywhere is not like Atlanta.
Well, you know what? That's why I believe in having, like, blankets and snacks in your car. If you have to,
but you gonna get
that. Yes.
Hello, survival you never kit. Know. Yep. You never know.
I'm getting the hell up out of there. I'm not staying nowhere like that, man. Y'all tripping.
I know how to break out of a car though.
That's easy.
Is it?
Yeah, you just break the window.
No, you can't just break it with your hand.
You're breaking my feet.
What you mean?
These Jordans will go right through that glass. I guarantee you.
Inefficient. No, you have to take the, you have to take like the little. Well, this is just what I saw.
I just unlock the door.
Look, if you're literally in a lake or some shit, or trapped in there somehow, it could be jammed.
Well,
shut
the
up.
Lake could be hard because the water is pressing up against the. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah,
but and you're said, supposed to let the water in.
I know.
So it equalizes the pressure.
Right.
So then you can just break the window and
thank
get the
you
hell
for that
out.
Advice.
I'm just saying, man.
No, I'm just saying. I want to keep
that
in
mind. I know how to swim, too, so I'm good.
Incorrect. Do not know how to do that. But.
Sophie.
Okay, I know. I need, like, some life skills. But I heard that you're supposed to take, like, the back of the headrest and, like, rip it off. And then those little, like, you know, the little metal pieces? You're supposed to, like, use that to get out.
Yeah, I think my size 10 shoe would be more efficient than that. I'm good.
Okay, if you say so. Anyway, sorry, this is really off topic. Who wants to go next?
I'll go next. I'll stay on the topic of cars. My vehicle has been down for like 2 weeks.
Jesus, man.
Yeah, I know.
You have the worst luck.
I do.
Cars.
It's a rough Ferrari curse.
You're rough on cars.
You rough on cars?
You know what?
Yeah.
It's partly that, but it's also just a Ferrari curse. Like me and my brothers, we always have issues. You know what I'm saying? So like 2 weeks ago, I blew out a tire, and then I sold those rims, and then I bought new rims and tires, and then I blew out my turbos. So yeah, I've been out of a car for like 2 weeks right now. So I've been Ubering everywhere.
What the hell, man?
But on a lighter note, so because I haven't had a vehicle, I've been riding the hell out of these little scooters that be in the city.
Oh my God.
They're tight, aren't they?
Yo, hey, fuck
people
Bird,
called
though.
Me one time and he was
I
on
hate
one.
Him.
The Bird scooter is so ass because it's slow. But them lift joints?
Yo, you have to speed through that shit? I like, people, what the hell you doing? I'm riding this scooter. I was like, you doing what? I'm riding this scooter downtown. I said, okay.
Yeah. See, man, it was just like a car. I had my Beats by Dre on, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Hitting on homies, listening to the music, riding
so
the scooter.
Funny, man.
Yo, it was crazy as hell.
Where I go be?
I heard the background as he was talking. I was like,
what the hell you doing?
I was like, I ride in the scooter, man, on my way home.
Hell no.
I went to go get a haircut. My barber.
And my barber is in Atlantic Station. So I literally rode from Atlantic Station all the way to the crib on a scooter.
Word.
Yeah.
What?
And it was cheaper than like an Uber or Lyft.
Yo, that's so wild. That's a Wiz Khalifa. See, y'all look mad wild on those scooters. Y'all see he tweeted up.
Who did?
Wiz Khalifa.
Oh, no, nah, I didn't see him. But he is tall and lanky. Yeah. But on a positive note, though, you know what I'm saying, with the car, you know, I have a motto. I don't replace, I upgrade. Because, you know, ain't no point of just replacing something if you're going to have to do the work anyway. So for all my car people out there, maybe, you know, y'all know what I'm talking about. Maybe y'all don't. But I'm going single turbo on my car now. So
That's an upgrade?
Yeah, that's an upgrade. Because my car comes stock with two turbos, but they're small. But I'm going to go with one big one. Mm-hmm. It's going to make more power. So I'm super excited.
You're just ready to fuck up your car again, basically.
Man, you know, because race car, it is what it is. You
know, it's a lot of maintenance, man.
Hey, you know what? It brings me joy.
Hey.
It brings
me
joy.
I have a question, and this can just be me going. My question is, when I was in New Orleans like a couple weeks back for Mardi Gras, they were doing this thing where like they rev up their tires in place to show off or some shit.
Mm-hmm.
What is the purpose of that?
And just to see who could have a bigger burnout. That's all.
I don't get it. So like they do it knowing that they're just gonna get more tires?
Mm-hmm. It's part of car culture. It's like everything is gonna wear out. Everything needs to be replaced. So you just, you know, depending on what you're into. So I'm not into that, mainly because it's just wasteful. Right, because
that's what I was
especially
thinking.
If I buy like the tires I got now, like they're a very sticky compound, right? And they're not that expensive, but why am I going to waste it on just burning out when, you know, I can go out here and actually do, you know, fast car things instead of just burning out my tires?
Like, right. And can't you make the mistake of like accidentally revving your car off in that position or some shit?
Nah.
I was asking because it was on the news at that time that like they were trying to do that. It was all like around like it was like around Algiers underneath the bridge, and they had like a lot of like street things and vendors and stuff set up on each side, and somebody's car, I guess they were like revving their tires or whatever, and it like flew off and like ran into like a truck that ended up like killing a kid or some shit.
That's very extreme. However, you know, if you're trying to burn your tires and you do it for long enough, pieces of rubber like
will
fly off that.
Right. I watched somebody on a motorcycle pop his tire and then he got sad. And I was like, what did you expect?
Exactly. Right. You know, so and that's what I'm saying. To me, that's wasteful. Like revving your engine, all of that, like you're putting additional stresses on things that what reason? Just so people can hear how loud my shit is. Now here's the thing, when I pull up to car meets and stuff, I might, hit the gas so you can hear my blowout valve and all the noises and
shit.
But
shit is so
but
extra
I'm not there
to me.
Just sitting down. That's dumb as hell to me.
Okay. That's what I thought too, but I wasn't sure.
But every car person's a different type of car person. I'm a go fast car person. So, you know, see me in Mexico for all my car people. Y'all know what that means.
Okay. Cool.
Well, since my little story this week, I had took my bike and rode around Stone Mountain. Because now, since, you know, with the spring forward and shit, I got a little bit more daylight after I get off work. Man, I'm only riding my bike at Silver Common Trail because it's just flat, smooth, and I can just go as far as I want.
You don't like them
inclines. Man, I didn't realize, because I always walk up Stone Mountain when I go to Stone Mountain Park. I never go around. Man, I rode my bike around that shit. I was like, God, it was parts where, you know, you're going down is fine. But when you got to go back up. I was like, shit, I had to keep switching my gears, to, you know, make sure I go at. I'm like, damn, this shit is fucking crazy, man. I was just breathing so hard. And this lady, it was this older lady that was riding her bike, and she probably overlapped me at least about five times. And then I think the fifth time she overlapped me, she just saw I was struggling and just laughing like, hard time, huh, buddy? I'm like, yes. I'm like, you have no idea. I was like, oh my God, what?
The older people at Stone Mountain do not play.
They
bro.
Do not
like, they,
play.
They are
and when
so
I mean
shape.
Older, I'm not talking like 47. I'm talking like about six, like 60, 70s. 60, yeah. Yeah. Late 60s, early
dude,
70s, dude. Killing
it was this,
me.
It was this guy. It was wet, rainy, and everything. I mean, I swear he ran up and down Stone Mountain like 5 times before I got up there. And I was just like, golly. And he was like,
before you
running,
got up
like,
there.
And he was running down, you know.
Y'all got me fucked up. You been to Stone Mountain? Not to run up it. I always take that little escalator thing.
Well, it's even like, but it's more difficult like trying to run down it.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. Because you gotta like prevent yourself from falling, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. And it was wet.
Yes.
Yeah, so I was like, what is happening?
What were you doing there? What were you doing there?
What you mean? Just working out. I mean, just
walking out. Was it wet?
No, I mean, well, I already had plans to go, and it wasn't, well, it was kind of raining, and I just didn't want to deviate from the plan, so we just still went.
You tripping. Yeah. I would have been in the house.
Nah, I got to stay committed, just like this basketball game after this podcast.
Ooh, good luck with that.
About to go whoop some youngin' ass.
Don't pull nothing.
Some lessons.
You said don't pull nothing?
Yeah.
Yeah, man, so
I might, but it's all good.
But imagine, if you did that more often, then you'd be in that basketball shape.
Yeah. I'm like, when I got finished, it was cool. I'm like, okay, I can do this again because it's closer, but man, that silver camera trail is nice because, you know, it goes from all the way from here to all the way past the Alabama state line, so I can just go as much as far as I want, come back around.
I'm going to take the easy route.
You say you're going to take the what?
Going to take the easy route.
Man, I mean, Stone Mountain, I'm like literally right by Stone Mountain, so that's why it's just
You should
it's
do
so
the Beltline. Since you work downtown, you know what I'm saying? Like, the Beltline is over there by me. You can start there and go all the way to, like, Ponce and all
that.
Though, nah, it depends on what part. So, like, over there by me, since they're still developing that area, it's not crowded at all. You're not going to get crowded until you hit by, like, Ponce City. But by that time, you can just make your way back.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Because, I like riding my bike, man. It takes me back to my old school days when I used to ride my bike all over Detroit and stuff before I was on the drive. What?
I don't know how to ride a bike.
Sophie, what is wrong with
so
you?
So many things you're just saying.
You
know,
basic
life
stuff. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Safe space. Apparently not.
Jesus Christ.
Damn.
We just want you to live better. That's all.
So do I. But you know what? I've tried to learn how to. I thought I told y'all this.
No, you can't ride a bike.
Okay. When am I ever gonna need to ride a bike in the pool? What the hell?
Hey, that's actually a really good workout, by the way.
Okay, I'm sure.
I'm just saying.
Well,
the resistance.
I'll never need it. Anyways, who else hasn't gone? Are we done?
No. You haven't gone either.
Yeah, I kind of went. I made it a question. I didn't want it to run on too long.
I mean, mine real short and quick. My mother surprised me this weekend. She came in town.
Oh, that's what's up.
Yeah, I was just like, dang. But it kind of messed me up because I had tickets to go see Us. So I had to cancel my tickets.
You had to do what?
Huh? Wow. I had to cancel my tickets to go to the movies because my mom came and she surprised me around. My movie was at 7. She called me at 6 like, surprise, I'm here. I'm like, God dang. I hadn't seen it in a while, so I was just like, you know, it's
Did
all
you,
good.
So how does that work? They let you like switch the tickets?
Well, I hadn't got the ticket. I haven't been back up there to see if I can get the money back.
Oh, hell
so
no.
So I just had to kind of.
Yeah, I would did the same thing too.
Yeah.
Did you order it through the app? Through the app, or you
no?
Just...
I had went and got them earlier. I went to the actual to the theater and picked them up earlier that day. And she called me and said, "Hey, guess what? I'm here."
Yeah, it's pricey.
She had never been to my house and stuff, so it was just like, you know.
Damn.
She had never been to my house on anything. So
yeah, if you order through Fandango or
they'll give you the credit or you can get your money back. Yeah. So yeah, I know that, but yeah, I had went to the actual theater to get the tickets.
Probably might just chuck that one up as a loss.
I'm gonna go up there and do what we were saying. Circle back to what we were saying earlier. Hey, I didn't use
this.
They'll do it. Like, look, I frequent here.
I come here all the time.
I frequent here. It's my favorite movie theater.
Right.
You guys gonna change that?
Right. I like some popcorn too.
While you're at it.
Oh man.
Yeah, man. So yeah.
What about you, Hugh? Anything interesting this week?
Yeah, actually. Yesterday was actually a really good day for me. Because I was asked to be a panelist at this event called the Deception of Perception Community Forum. And this lady, Miss Alita Sims, she saw my documentary that me and Ramil, the one I sent you, she saw that and, you know, asked us to come and, like, be panelists at this event. And it was just really dope because it's, like, the type of thing I've, like, always wanted to do. Which is like, I'm talking about film and I'm talking about, you know, the stuff I do. And then there's like all these kids asking the panel like questions about mental health and you know, asking us for advice and like life experiences and how to get through to certain things. And it was just like, I don't know, it was just like one of the dopest things I ever did.
Oh, that's what's up, man.
It's like, you know, I've always wanted to like, I don't know, the feeling of like going and like speaking to the kids and like helping them out.
Yeah.
It was dope.
I was always afraid to do that when I was like, yeah. I never had any aspirations to do that. You know what I'm saying? Just yeah. like to kind of talk in front of people, public speaking.
Yeah.
But I've done it now. You know what I'm saying? I've been to a couple schools and talked to kids about, you know, careers yeah. and stuff like that. And I love it now, but it's like, I never would have thought I would. I never yeah. saw myself doing that. So, yeah. yeah.
It's like 50-50. Cool half, most yeah. people like don't like public speaking at all. I don't mind it. I like it. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes it can be like nerve wracking or whatever, but like since mm-hmm. it's something I want to do, like I like doing it.
Right.
And it was just fire because it's like me and Ramil just like on this panel with like four other like way older people or whatever. And when we walked in, actually, they thought we were just like attending the event, I guess, because we look so young.
That's funny.
They're like, oh, you're presenting. We're like, yeah. And so they gave us like these presenter badges and stuff mm-hmm. and was like walking us around to different rooms and stuff.
That's dope, man.
Yeah, it was fine.
Yeah, that's cool as hell.
That's dope. All right, cool.
Yep. So, cool. So we got some facts only this week, man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, I guess I just...
We saw it coming, too. I think we knew it was coming.
Yeah. Well, I didn't... really honestly think it was that important to say, hey, the guy getting egged was this senator that was spewing racist stuff and blaming the Muslims and stuff like that. It was just really
shocking and fun factor.
Yeah, it really was just yeah. that. Like, yeah. I knew that, but I, you know, when I, because I saw it happen, but I didn't think that people would get that
offended,
upset that we didn't really say that. Or that we didn't mention, or I didn't mention that part of the story.
You know what's funny? I don't know how recent that happened before we actually shot the podcast, but I feel like it, I don't know. I feel like I saw it circulating, but I didn't see, I don't know. I didn't pay it that much mind, but what I did see from it, I think people were like alleging like, oh, you know, kind of like big upping him like for going to do that. So I didn't really research why. But I felt like something was a little off when we might have been talking about it, but I didn't know enough about the story to actually like interject and say like, hey, I feel like this is that, because I just didn't read
it. Yeah, I mean,
it.
I knew that it had to be a deeper thing going on, but it was just simply the shock factor. Like,
ooh, look at that left. Right. He went down left. He did two lefts. Like,
I didn't really care at the time to know the backstory of it. You
it
know
was
what
the
saying?
Fact
it was
that just he splashed
the egg. But if you think about it, like, you know, I kind of feel like that would have to happen within reason, or like somebody would need to be provoked in a certain way to go ahead and react like that for somebody.
No, absolutely. Yeah. It was just like, damn.
right. We were being Twitter for, you know, live, like, oh, look at this video that happened, like the story or the backstory, you know,
was secondary.
Yeah, it was secondary, but apparently they felt that we should know that he was an Australian senator, Fraser Anning, and he got egged because of he blamed the New Zealand mosque attacks on Muslim immigration. So there's that.
Would've got these hands though.
Right. Yeah.
I don't care what I said. He still would've got these hands.
The Momo challenge.
Also facts only on that too?
Yeah, they were saying that it was a total fraud and it was completely made up, and that there were no Momo challenge videos or videos that were causing kids to do anything messed up, and it was just it was a Facebook post that said beware of the Momo challenge, et cetera, et cetera. And yes, that is true. Again, you know,
but I said I hadn't seen any reports saying that.
Right, you did. Yeah. And it really wasn't about whether it was real or not. Mm-hmm. It was about Rod and I as parents getting an email from our school saying beware of the Momo challenge.
Right.
For us to have a conversation with our kids about something like that.
Just in case.
Right. Just in case. So regardless of whether it was real or not, it was enough to cause a real world reaction that we had to react to.
Mm-hmm.
And just the idea that something online can actually grow enough legs to go out into the real world.
Yeah.
You know, so the possibilities that and the new threats that are arising from online you know, activity or fake stories, you know, was worthy of a discussion.
Because real or fake, I mean, my youngest was aware of it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't matter. She was aware of it. So you could have had some imposter come out there acting, you know, like the person because they heard about this story and then now it's real. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. So Chris 052 on Reddit. If you wanted us to mention it was fake, great, but it had less to do with it being fake and more or less Rod and I having to, you know, address potential. So that was it. And so shout out to 7D Paul on Reddit for the Egg Boy thing and everybody else. Shout out to Chris B326 for the Momo thing and also Chris 052. And then CD Styles on Reddit also said that earlier this month, a prison here in South London opened a transgender-only unit. He said they did this in part responding to a situation where an inmate, transgender woman Karen White, raped and assaulted other inmates in a female-only prison. And he just wanted to share that. So, and then we had some other stuff I read later from a transgender woman that they put on Reddit, which I think was pretty cool and interesting. So anyway, let's hit these topics. Daniel Caesar.
Oh man.
Damn, Daniel.
Man, yo, like this was crazy.
So what happened?
Are there black people in this chat right now? I can't tell.
Basically.
Yo, I'm not making sure there is. I love you guys. Yo, you guys are listening and I love you guys so much, but this we're like talking about something serious. So I'm like, I don't want to talk about shows or like being, you know, like artist stuff. I don't know which black people are in here, but I want you guys to talk up right now. Why do we?
Oh, I saw it here.
Yeah. I heard something. Why are we being so mean to Jules? Why are we being so mean to white people right now? That's a serious question. Why is it that we're allowed to be disrespectful and rude to everybody else? And when anybody returns any type of energy to us, that's not equality. I don't want to be treated like I can't take a joke. I just went through that the fucking Chappelle shit, and I had to like in the moment acknowledge that I was being fucking sensitive. Sometimes, you know what I'm saying? And that I need to be able to take a joke just like everybody else. No. That's what it is. People are allowed to say what the fuck they want. And I'm allowed to feel how I want, but it's like, am I gonna fight them or am I gonna accept what they have to say and keep it fucking moving? I only treat people that I don't respect and don't think that they can take a joke. I think that they're less than me. Those are the only people that I don't fucking say my honest opinion around. And that's disrespect. White people have, I see what you're saying. White people have been mean to us in the past. I have a, like, what are you going to do about that? Tell me what you're going to do about that. There's no answer other than gaining understanding and keeping it moving. That's some biblical shit.
Yo, bridging the gap, man.
You have to bridge the gap. I'm sorry. Yo, I'm drunk as fuck right now, okay?
All right, so we can stop it there.
Okay, yeah, stop it there. Great ending.
Right. Okay, bro.
So, reactions from the panel?
Sophie, go ahead.
Okay. So, when I saw this circulating on the interwebs, I didn't watch the video. I just saw, like, basically other people watched it and basically just, what do they call that? Just, like, recapped it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the jokes went flying and stuff. But I think that the whole start of this, from the fact that, like, I had to do some digging because I've heard a lot about Yes Jules and like the role that she plays in like the music and hip hop communities, especially like being that I want to say she's from Florida, Miami, I think, maybe. I'm not sure if that's where she's from, but I know she does host a lot of events down there. And I did watch, I don't know if it was a podcast, but I did watch the segment that she did speaking on her situation with Joe Budden. And I was kind of confused at like what people's motives, not motives, but I just didn't really understand why people like hated her. You know, I feel like I could have an inkling. I don't put much past, white people in the culture trying to do certain shit. But to me, I did get the notion that, you know, she is kind of like infiltrating the culture. I know that Scottie Beam was saying that, you know, she slept her way to the top, which that's its own thing in its own regard. But I just didn't really understand it. And so I had to do some digging to understand, like, what does she mean to, like, hip hop culture and stuff like that. And then so once I kind of did that research and, you know, understood where people were coming from, that kind of makes this whole thing from Daniel Caesar not make any sense. Like, I don't really understand why he felt the need to, like, cape for her. And then on top of that, she didn't thank him or acknowledge him at all. So it was just kind of like, this was a waste of a save. Like, why did you put yourself in this position? I don't get that.
Yeah, I don't know enough about her.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I knew about her was that when she supposed to have some shirt that said niggas is lying or something like that, and that was the first time I've ever heard of a Yes Jewels or even knew who she was because of that. Like, she had posted a shirt, yeah, like, should I wear this?
She's like,
am I allowed to wear this? And it said niggas is lying, and went crying and made like apology video.
My best way to describe her is like, you know, God, what is that really problematic white woman who, like, not Amy Schumer, but there's like another kind of sort of comedian that, like, plays off the fact that she's ugly.
From Girls, from the TV show Girls.
Maybe, yeah, that's her name. Figure it out.
Lena Dunham.
Yes, yeah. Her.
Okay.
She reminds me of, like, Lena Dunham in a way, mm-hmm, where it's like, I'm going to be this figure in hip hop culture, but then I'm also going to cry wolf when people are mean to me or hold me to a certain regard. Mm-hmm. But then I'm also going to, like, she's like a Khloe Kardashian kind of. She's just very like, what the fuck are you talking about? Nobody asked for this. You know, she'll come out and be like, I don't know why people hate on me. My ass is just like this normally. I resemble features that are just normally like this. People think that I can't say. So she just inserts herself where people never really called or asked for her. So I understand the annoyance. So then it's kind of like, I just get this notion that she tries to, like, not push other people out. I guess the backlash has just come from, like, Karen Civil and Scottie Beam, other, like, black women in hip hop who, you know, have made a way and created a space for themselves. And a lot of people look at Yes Jewels like, why the fuck is she here? When, yes, she does contribute, I guess, certain things, but it's like, why are you hosting Rolling Loud? You know what I'm saying? Like, why are you hosting these things where you just got invited into a space of hip hop? But she, I guess, has said herself that she feels like she's earned that right because she's hosted festivals and stuff like that, and she feels like she does influence the culture, but at the same time is going back and, like, belittling black women.
Yeah.
So it's like, why?
I didn't know who she was either, and I, like, after I saw the video, I went and, like, looked up and did some research on her or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, like, yeah, she has that thing where she's like, I guess, saying that she's confused as to, like, why people don't like her.
Yeah.
But then you'll go back and see those tweets that she had where she's like, black women don't like me because black men like me more than them or whatever.
Right. And using that as, like, a wedge.
Yeah. Okay. And, like, she had some tweet where, I'm like paraphrasing, I don't remember, like, word for word, where she's like, I'll be in a room with guys from every ethnicity and all the black guys will beeline straight for me and, like, you know, stuff like that or whatever.
Yeah, it just seems very, like, polarizing in terms of, like, trying to, like, you can't come into a black space but then try to divide black people.
Hmm.
So I definitely understand where that gripe is coming from. So to me, it just kind of seems like, shut the fuck up. You know what I'm saying? Like, know your place type of thing. And clearly she doesn't.
And then she had that, like, freestyle with that at that Soulja Boy thing.
Oh my God. And that it was horrible, right?
It was bad. And then she said something like,
it was horrible.
She was like, they want to call me a vulture, but they don't give back to the culture and some other shit.
Okay. Yeah. It's just, she's very like Iggy Azalea, Khloe Kardashian, Lena Dunham ish. Yeah.
Rolled into one.
So it's kind of like, I don't, like, people just don't know what to do with her at this point, because it feels like a lot of black men cape for her, or like her position to remain in the positions of power that she does have over the culture or hip hop in general. So I guess they think that that's problematic, but she tends to be very polarizing when, like, dividing black women and black men. So yeah, that was my take on the situation. But yeah, Daniel Caesar just came out the ass and just said we should be nicer to her, and was caping for, I don't know if they have like a relationship. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Like an actual relationship?
No, not necessarily like romantic or anything, mm-hmm. but just any type of platonic or just friendly relationship to where he felt the need to say this or speak out on her on her behalf. Because to me, was everybody. She didn't say shit. She wasn't like, oh, thanks, or hey, I understand you're trying to stick up for me, but you know, whatever. She has allegedly now deleted her Instagram and Twitter and has not responded to this at all. Because I think what he was trying to do was like, hey, everyone, be nice. And then they were just like, oh, we forgot about this bitch, but now that you remind us. And then just started attacking her again. So I think that's what happened. It ended up backfiring.
So what actually happened with the Joe Budden and her thing?
So there was a whole video. I guess she was saying that Joe Budden would consistently reach out to her to ask her for help just with random shit. I don't think they were trying to like have like a, you know, sexual relationship or anything from what I read, but he would just reach out to her for random stuff. I'm sure they've crossed paths with like, you know, being media, whatever. And so I guess on one occasion she asked him like for help with something, and I think like Sin got involved or like said that like don't respond to him or something like that. You should just watch the video because they have like a whole interview on it. And then I guess she said like she felt beef with that. It was actually something that popped off really stupid because I guess he bought these like sweatpants or some shit and he wanted to return them. It's like this really stupid story. Like he wanted to return them, and he was getting mad that they wouldn't accept the pants back because it was like some $300 sweatpants. But the guy who was like the owner of the store was like, "Nigga, we just saw you wearing these pants on Instagram. You've already worn them." Wow. And she was like, "Yeah, I just felt like he a clown. Why he calling me to ask him like for help with favors and shit like that? But then when I reach out to him, he's not there for me, and I just feel like that's some fake shit." So. Yeah, I just thought he was a clown and da 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 da. So I guess that was her whole take on the story, but it just kind of escalated from there. Mm. So I don't know.
Anybody else have thoughts on Daniel Caesar?
Well, you know, it definitely appears that there are a lot of people, you know, black men, I guess is the thing, where they're supposedly running to her, you know, her defense and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Daniel Caesar, I don't think is from America.
He's Canadian.
Yeah, so
I guess that's his excuse, allegedly,
and that's the excuse I guess people are kind of, you know, throwing out there. And
you think that's a valid excuse though?
The history of America is well known. I don't think
like
so.
We are really right next door. Like yeah. We are really right next door, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, were people not running towards y'all, you know what I'm saying? Like I don't understand that. I feel like even Mexicans know. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Everybody
like
should know.
People in the surrounding areas know. People in the UK know. It's
Daniel
like,
Caesar knows. Like,
yeah. Come on, bro.
He said it in the video.
Yeah. He said he knows.
They were mean to us. Yeah, they were mean to us back in the day.
Back in the day, my nigga? Mean is
no,
like...
No, they killed us back in the day.
Bro, they lynched us today. Yeah.
They still kill us today. They still kill us today. We were killed back in the day.
Than just being mean.
Yeah.
That's not so mean. Funny. Being mean is saying you look like a gopher. You know what I'm saying? And that still has
they killed some of your ancestors. Right. Yeah, but just it's cool.
Right.
Get over it. Like, no, what?
He's like, but that's back in the past.
Oh, God. The way he talks just sends me as well. My God.
Why are we being so mean to white people?
Right.
Where does it send you so
shouldn't ever try to do, like...
Oh, man.
Right.
He really just tried to make light. He tried to make light of the situation.
Yeah.
And he failed miserably.
He made it seem like it was like... kindergartners arguing or something. Why are you guys being mean?
Yes.
Are you being mean ever, guys? Like, my God.
He sounded so dumb.
Yeah. It's ridiculous, honestly. Like, I just don't understand that. And, you know, this reminds me a lot of, like, the time where everybody was ready to get Chance the Rapper up out of here. I forgot for what reason, but the internet, the streets was just waiting for him to fuck up because they was like, and another thing, like, just waiting. Like, so this reminds me of, like, you know, when Daniel Caesar first came on the scene, a lot of people were saying, like, you know, yeah, the nigga ugly, but he has a voice on him. And I think a lot of people trying to, like, you know, resonate or, like cape for the fact that, you know, don't, you know, it doesn't matter if he's that attractive.
That
just
was
listen
so
to the music.
Funny.
Yeah.
Like, everybody was turning on him when he said, "There's like, I'm mad as fuck that I stood up for this ugly ass nigga or whatever."
Yeah,
all the girls were just
hot.
Like, that was just so funny.
Yeah. And I mean, I feel like, you know, the black community would be the first community to you know, accept you with open arms and to be like, you know, don't look past the, societal beauty of, you know, whatever, you know, he lacks, you know, just listen to the music, vibe with him. He's a cool dude. He makes amazing music. But if you go and say some shit like this, you don't have our fucking loyalty or our respect.
Yeah. Like just for instance, like my wife went to one of his concerts, his shows. She's actually... was a big fan of his, and now she doesn't even want to listen to him anymore.
Yeah,
like she went to a show, she listened to him all the time. She don't even want to listen to him anymore.
Well,
hey man,
do what you yourself,
he got
bro.
Canceled for real.
Yeah, I was just like,
he fucked himself up.
Yeah,
like. He what? He didn't even have to say anything. He could have just kept that to himself.
It had nothing to do with him.
And it still baffles me because she has said not a thing.
Right.
She didn't even. You know, he tried to save her. And now when it's time for him to be saved, she nowhere to be found.
Right.
Okay. Wouldn't even throw out a life vest.
You said she deleted her social media, right?
I believe so. It might just be like temporarily disabled.
She couldn't save him anyway.
Nah.
She's not in a position to save him anyway.
Oh, you were talking about thanking, at least thanking him for supporting her.
Whatever. I mean, not saving him from like being not canceled, you know what I'm saying? But just saving him as like showing solidarity, like thank you for sticking up for me.
Mm-hmm. She may have. You never know. She may have said
what, privately
it, like,
in a text?
Like, I don't know, privately, yeah. She may have privately,
that's
but...
some bullshit, because if somebody's getting dragged publicly for trying to stick up for you, mm-hmm. even if they said the wrong thing, I would reach out.
Yeah, right. I'm not saying it's right either way. I'm just saying that she may have reached out privately. That's all I'm saying. But I get you. Like, yeah, if he's going out there in the public, she should come out in the public and say, well, she's just not going to do that, though. I mean, she's not going to do that.
Why?
Because then the attention is going to be back on her, like, fully. Like, I don't know, bitch, stay in your place or something like that, they might say. Yeah, you know, I don't know what they might say. But, like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so that's that.
It was stupid.
So yeah, Danny Boy.
oh yeah, he said that too. He said, well, not Danny Boy, but he said, I don't care if you don't listen to my music anymore, da 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 da.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, he said that. Really?
Yeah,
he said
bro,
that.
Yeah, like,
I don't care
man.
If I lose fans. He said that.
He's like, make me broke.
And he said that. I was just like,
yeah, on Twitter.
They're like,
bro, you just got in the game, bro. You ain't like 10, 15 years old. Right. You ain't got no catalog.
Right.
You ain't R. Kelly out here.
Right. Or Michael Jackson. Or
exactly.
Or Elvis. Any of them other problematic people that are out here, bro. Like, nobody has any loyalty to you, as evidenced by Rod's wife. So, anyway.
So, Ken, before you go to your next topic, you know, I'm going to drop another bombshell like I did last week.
Go ahead.
Now it's not as controversial.
Know how that went last week?
It was actually good. You know, the Reddit community ate that thing up.
They did.
But I don't have any names. I could just tell you the situation, and y'all can facts only me next week with the names and all of that. But there was an off-duty cop traveling 94 miles an hour and crashed into a black lady, killing her one-year-old child. So let me just read exactly what's on here. It says, imagine an off-duty cop going 94 miles an hour, crashes into you, killing your one-year-old child. Not only does the cop get paid administrative leave, but in an attempt to save his ass, the department charges the mother with homicide for not tightening the car seat straps tight enough.
Are you fucking serious?
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Damn.
Are you?
Yeah.
What?
Like...
God, yeah,
this
bro.
Isn't a real story.
It's
bro.
A real story.
Charlie, what's your source?
Huh?
What's your source?
The internet, just like everything else.
I don't know, man.
Nah, it's a real story. It's a real story.
That's crazy.
It's a real story.
How can you do that?
Charged her with homicide.
Charged her with homicide.
How fucked up is that?
It's crazy as hell, bro.
God damn.
It's crazy as hell.
Is that real?
Yeah,
real.
Y'all haven't seen this?
Yeah,
no.
I haven't even heard about that.
Yeah.
Internet.
Damn.
It's out there, but yeah, no, it's for real, man. I saw it, and I'm like, this is the society we live in.
Oh,
we,
but they're just being mean to us. I forgot.
Oh
sorry.
Yeah,
it's just a little bit
just
of being
mean.
That is so mean. Wow.
God damn.
Yeah.
Good one, Sophie. Wow. Okay, that's interesting. You can file chart because she didn't tighten this. How do you know that? How can you even prove
that?
Saying,
exactly. After the crash, how do you know that?
That is literally a reach from the stars.
That's the craziest shit I've ever heard of.
See, but isn't that
what city is this? Like, what town is this?
I want to say it was in Florida. I want to say
how
Florida is just dumpster.
Hey, and did y'all see this? Florida's allowing teachers to have guns in the classroom.
I saw that.
That's not surprising.
Yeah,
that's,
bro, I'm not.
That's
I'm not
surprising
moving back.
At all.
I can't do that.
You was going to?
No, well, I've considered
tripping.
It. Man, you know what I'm saying? But nah.
I mean, that's where I'm from, so yeah, exactly. It's like, yeah.
Oh, y'all tripping. Yeah,
like the weather and stuff, you know what I'm saying? It's just, it is what it is. But nah, bro, I can't put my kid in no damn. Because look, half of these teachers crazy than a motherfucker. And now they got guns?
Giving them a reason.
Nah, bro.
Let them have a bad day.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Shoot all you niggas today.
They already don't like teaching, so most of them.
Right, yeah. Right.
Yep.
And then you giving them.
Nah, not happening. Damn.
That's not surprising, though.
That's insane.
All right, well, wow, that was interesting. So we'll see how that play out.
As if giving us bad education wasn't enough.
Right. Get some guns. Get a chance to kill y'all motherfuckers.
It's really going to seem like a prison.
So right. Papa John's trying to sell more pizza to black folks, my bad.
Of course they are.
They got Shaq, you know, as their new face of
because he's, like, invested into the company now, right? Did he? No.
When you say face, like, what do you mean?
Spokesperson.
So Papa John's will pay Shaquille O'Neal $8.25 million over 3 years for an endorsement deal.
Because wasn't Peyton Manning was kind of like the face at first, right?
Yeah, because Peyton Manning invested a lot of money into it, especially once he got to Denver. You know, it made sense. It's legal over there. You know,
because
when
it's
legal, you're gonna eat a lot more pizzas.
I think him coming out saying the N-word at a conference call or something like that, the actual owner. Ever since that happened, like, Peyton Manning, you seen him kind of out. Peyton Manning was like, I don't want nothing to do with this.
Nope,
so it hasn't
not at
been
all.
No...
A black man got him his first Super Bowl. He's like, I'm loyal to these Negroes.
Right. Black coach. But
Tony Dungy, for those of you that don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, that's interesting. They got Shaq.
Okay, so first of all, you got to understand that Shaq is like an endorsement whore. You know what I'm saying? Like the general, icy
Gold
high. All of that stuff. You know what I'm saying? And I get it. Keep getting checks.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm not hating or nothing on it. But at the same time, Papa John's needed a new spokesperson that was more Afrocentric. Let's be honest. Because after that, we stopped buying Papa John's pizzas like that. So, and I think it goes just a little step beyond. I think as black folk, we actually enjoy other pizzas a little bit more too. This just gave us more reason not to do business with Papa John's. I don't know if hiring Shaq is going to bring it all the way back, but it is a step in the right direction. They understand where their PR is right now, and they knew that they had to do something. And I think Shaq is actually a really good spokesperson for him, because black community loves Shaq. Shaq endorses a lot of product, and he's a big goofy funny guy. Like, you know, I don't think it's a wrong move by no stretch. I just don't know if it moves the needle, though.
Right.
Mm. We'll see.
Why you say Soph?
I kind of feel like I just don't really eat, whatchamacallit?
Papa John's.
No, not Papa John's.
Pizza?
Like, you don't ride bikes, you don't swim, you don't eat pizza.
Hey, you was getting the
No, chain pizza. I don't. Okay. Yeah, I try not to eat chain. Unless it's, like, Nancy's.
Nancy's,
but that's not a chain.
Oh my god!
Yeah, bro.
It kind of is a chain.
Hey, look, and I'm gonna tell you like this: if you like Nancy's, bro, when you go to Chicago
that's the original.
Like Nancy's tastes like cardboard, and it's good as hell. I eat Nancy, but it tastes like cardboard compared to the stuff in Chicago, man.
Yeah.
Oh my god!
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I feel you. Nah, yeah, they just put one by my house, man. I was like, yes.
Oh, at Nancy's?
I was like, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I was like, yes.
Them things are expensive,
though. Like, three times.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
And then the pizza not big at all, but it's good.
It's filling.
Yes, it is. It's filling.
No. Oh, it is filling, but I'm just saying it's not big.
Did
like,
you
it's not a big
to be
ass
like
pie.
This?
That's because it's saying
this
it's
tall?
Big.
Like, I know, because it's like, deep.
He wanted a whole pie. I'm weird.
I was born in Chicago.
You want a whole deep dish like that?
You were?
No. Yeah, I was born in Chicago.
Born in Chicago and then moved to
and
Florida.
And back in 84.
The fuck?
She said when?
Way back then.
She said when?
What are you doing? 26.
Where were you born, people?
That's funny.
But yeah.
So if you've only been knowing you for 5-6 years.
Damn.
That's crazy.
Like Chicago,
yeah, Chicago, Florida. Yeah.
I thought you
Chicago,
was born in Miami.
Florida?
Mm-mm. Chicago. I was born in Chicago. I was raised in Miami.
Yeah.
Damn.
Mm-hmm.
Was they on vacation or did y'all live there?
No, we lived there. I lived there from
ball and everything. Right?
Yeah, I went to high school.
Really?
Play ball. Yeah, that's why I claim Miami.
You living
Miami...
double lives. Good night. Whatever. I don't believe it.
That's cool.
Better learn about the Ferrer.
So you went to public school in Chicago, or private school?
No, I went to private school the majority of my life. I didn't go to public school until 11th grade.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yep.
All right. So Sophie.
What's that?
You know, I sent you the story that you was telling us about a couple of episodes ago last year about the women that are tanning their skin to be black.
Oh. Yeah.
It came back.
Nigger fishing?
It's back around again.
What do you mean back around? It never left.
Well, yeah, but that is true. You're right. That is true. It never really left.
I just want to point out that none of y'all niggas believed me when we talked about this on the show. Y'all thought it was a joke. Mike, especially. I know he's not here, but I don't give a fuck. He said that he was like, come on, y'all are being ridiculous. You think this is real? Blah, 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 blah.
But then they came on and just confirmed it, though.
She did.
Yeah.
She did.
Yeah. She was confirming everything that you was talking about.
I know.
She was still...
was correct.
It was still kind of...
Shaky.
Yeah. That was our first, like, oh, yeah, okay, sorry.
So,
Sophie's still correct.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so anyway, man, have you guys seen this? Bro, this is crazy.
So, hold on.
From Taylor Swift to Justin Sky.
Go back to the top. go back to the top. Let me read the top.
I've seen the headline.
Women with tanning obsession claims people accuse her of trying to switch races.
Woman.
What'd I say?
Women.
Oh, my bad, woman. Yeah, I'm speechless. I'm speechless.
How
did she not
I'm
turn
like you,
red?
I'm speechless.
Yeah, how did she not turn red before it, brown like that?
Yeah, why is it like a like...
Is that like a makeup
brown.
Thing? is that a makeup thing?
That's definitely foundation.
Yeah.
I think another one is actually going to tanning salons to get darken their skin too. It's interesting. And I mean,
it's more.
So
wait, there's more?
Yes.
Go ahead. This is
my thing, right? And I feel like we've seen this play out for a long time now, even like back in like the 1800s, things like that. You know, like the rich white woman would try to wear like these corsets with like those big, you know, trains and stuff that would make them look like their hips were bigger. And, you know, corset training and all that stuff, trying to like mimic their... nannies, you know, like they're slave nannies and things like that. So it's kind of like we've seen this happen for a long time, but now I think the social media thing is just like it's almost like praised to be like ambiguously like racially ambiguous.
Yeah.
And it's this thing where it's like we kind of know why it's happening, but it's like it's insulting as well because everybody want to be black till it's time to be black. So my thing is like, we see this with the Kardashians and I feel like, you know, they have overstayed their welcome in black culture. But you know what? Again, it's these niggas who want to fuck the Kardashians and just let them to continue to hang around. You know what I'm saying? Like everybody wants to fuck a Kardashian. Everybody wants to be with a Kardashian. It's just something about the name, the brand. And we've seen this with Khloe recently and Tristan Thompson, where, you know, you try to acquire all these black features and you tan yourself and you get the lips and you get your ass done and you do this and you do that, all the things that black girls are normally made fun of. And then now that you're in this position, he still cheats on you and you're baffled by it. Like you could just, you know what I'm saying? Like not be disrespected. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't know. It's like you've acquired these features, but you didn't think that. You thought you were above getting disrespected or cheated on or left or whatever. And that's just not the fucking case.
You don't think that's more of a, like a beauty thing?
No.
Like I'm too cute?
What do you
mean? Why are you cheating on me?
No. It's a, well, with the Kardashians, it's not. Because they tried to do this thing, and I know that y'all probably didn't follow it, but the whole
Jordan who? I thought we were just talking about it.
Jordan. Okay. Come on, B. What else?
Asking me about names. You know, I don't know.
You had a whole conversation about it.
I don't remember the damn name.
But yeah, with Jordan Woods or whatever, we see that, you know, they were basically trying to throw her under the bus before Will and Jada saved her by putting them on the show. But what's funny is, like, they don't have room to talk because Khloe took Trina's man. French Montana at the time. Chloe took, it's just like the list goes on and on. Like Kim's taking people's people. I could have sworn that like, yeah, Kylie took whatever. What
Travis
the fuck?
Scott.
Travis Scott. And.
Well, not Travis Scott. I guess.
She took Travis Scott from Justine Skye. She took what was the other one? Tyga from Blac Chyna. And remember when everybody was saying that, oh, China's a whore, this and that and the other, for trying to get with Rob. But she's only playing the same game that the Kardashians have been playing for years now. The only difference is they have a platform to put themselves in a positive light with it. You know what I'm saying? So like Kris Jenner owns basically almost all of E! News. So she has the platform. Like every time, if you ever watch Keeping Up with the Kardashians, it always says executively produced by Kris Jenner or Kim Kardashian or whatever, because they own that shit. They edit all that shit and they control the narrative. And their narrative, now that they basically have so much control over PR and like entertainment and E! News and what's in the media, that's why nobody really was fucking with this Jordan story. Because when it came out, it's really not about, oh, we care about people cheating on Khloe Kardashian. It's more the fact that somebody that they say was so close to their family, a Black woman, right, that apparently, allegedly, they're so close, they immediately tried to toss under the bus just for a storyline. And that's problematic, because if she didn't have somebody to save them, note that Kris Jenner, the entire team hasn't said shit since they, since she went on Red Table Talk and talked about it with Jada. So it's kind of like they do this shit at the expense that they don't feel like other people will have an outlet to tell their story, because they know that they capitalize on such like having such a big platform. And that's problematic as fuck. And it continues to happen. And they know that, like, you know, Kim Kardashian's over here befriending Jeffree Star and like, oh, backtracking when she knows that he's been racist all this time, or just doing certain things. Like, you can't have it both ways. You can't want to be Black but then shit on Black people.
I actually take this issues in the African-American community class at school, and the topic actually came up of the Kardashians, and a lot of the women in my class were saying that it's a problem because they're like profiting off of the Black woman aesthetic,
mm-hmm.
but since they're not Black, like, those features are going to be more attributed to them than Black women.
Let me explain how this could potentially be a problem, right? I mean, it already is, but just let me break it down real simple. Kim Kardashian can go on a red carpet, right, and have her hair in like a slick back ponytail. The actual ponytail part, let's just say it's cankalon, right, or, you know, braiding hair, right? It's so trendy when she does it, or when Ariana Grande does it, or whatever, right? She can turn around and be like, hey, guys, I know you saw my hair on the red carpet. I'm actually selling it for $80 a bundle. When really, in Black beauty stores, it's like $5 a pack, right? They could buy out the entire shit of Kankalon and resell it to white women who want to look like them and leave Black girls without shit. You know what I'm saying? Because they're not really thinking about us when they do that. They're thinking about them and how they can look good in the aesthetic of Black women. You know what I'm saying? The whole braiding. And it's just the same thing about, we say that, oh, you know, or, you know, people say it doesn't matter how you do your hair, or it doesn't matter if certain people have dreads and, you know, whatever. And braiding, people have been braiding in Greece and all that shit for all these years. But everybody knows that Black girls have had to have like protective styles for mm-hmm. a long time, because God forbid we wear natural hair in the office place and then we're getting pulled into the office saying that we look, right. You know, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when you do it to, like, for example, like when you just do it for the fucking aesthetic, or to be, you know, hood rich or cute or whatever, the same way Miley Cyrus can put on a whole bunch of change and twerk and then come back in 5 years and be like, you know what, it just wasn't me, you know, I just.
And just be white again.
Yeah, I'm just going to be white again for a while. I just feel like this was really what God intended, you know, I just don't know what that nigger shit was. But now we're back and I feel blessed. Thank you for being with me on this journey. But 2 seconds later, when she needs to promote something, she's in chains twerking again. Stop doing it. It's just the bullshit, you know? But then we get labeled as ghetto and this and that when the hood people who actually don't have shit have to, like, come out and make a way to, like, put some shit together.
So let me ask you this. Is there any point, and this is just me asking questions. This is not my stance or anything. I'm just asking. So
wait, from whose point are you asking then? Just in general?
Just in general, that's normally what I do, and I get that's how I guess I get caught up because people think it's my stance.
Well, thanks
but
for explaining that.
Yeah, nah, it's not
he
my stance.
He tries every time, but people still jump on him. Which we
man.
Do have a that'll be in the comment commentary, by the way.
All right, cool. So at what point? So is there any point where you look at it as flattery? Is my question.
If somebody compliments me and tells me that I look good, sure.
No, I'm saying
like if they do it,
they're doing it, but they like doing it because they just honestly just like how it looks. And
not
it, and
really, because okay, you know what?
So it's not really. I'm saying, is there any point where it? Oh, you're saying not really?
Yeah,
no
not
point.
Really. Like yeah. I don't think so because yeah. this is what happens. Mm-hmm. Even if there is, let's just say there's a white girl or a white passing girl because they're Armenian. Blah blah blah. Them bitches are white. They're white passing. They can, you know what I'm saying? They have the same privilege. So it's like I just call it all the same shit. But for me, it's like. Let's just say, and I feel like a lot of like white passing Hispanic people, a lot of white passing people of color do this, where it's like they can use the black aesthetic, right? Mm-hmm. And then they're so desirable because it's like, damn, like you got the black features. We don't need black women anymore, right? And then a lot of like black men will start bigging them up. Like, we don't need black women no more. This girl can twerk, or this girl got an ass, or she could fry chicken, or she could do this. She can make me feel like I'm with a black woman, but she's not giving me she's not holding me accountable like a black woman would. Or do those things, you know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like they get in their head like, oh shit, the black women are just mad that we're taking their men. How is it our fault? Oh my God, this is so ridiculous. Like, why are we getting the backlash? The same thing with Yes Jules, you know what I'm saying? It's like, this is why people hate shit like that. Cause it's like, black women be minding their fucking business and we really don't give a fuck what the next person does. But when you have to shit on us to stand on top of us to lift yourself up, that's when we always have a problem. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like rarely will somebody fit that aesthetic and stand in that aesthetic, but then also stand up for black women. And I think that that's the fucking problem as well.
So you're saying if they stood up for black women, that would be the flattery part? At that point?
I don't necessarily think that would be flattery, but I feel like at that point, it's like, at least you're using your platform for good at that point. You know, mm-hmm. you're not standing on us to shit on us. You're kind of, you know, bringing us up
trying
with
to
you.
Help.
Or, you know what I'm saying?
In some way.
And it might not be the best way because, again, that steps into Rachel Dolezal territory where we feel like we should be flattered just because she's trying to look like black women. You shouldn't have to fit the aesthetic to stand up for us. Mm. But I feel like that would be, depending on who's viewing it, looked at a little bit better. You know what I'm saying? Because there's some black people who think that Rachel Dolezal is the shit. I disagree because you shouldn't have to look like us to fight for our shit. But, you know, it is what it is.
Let's move on.
I love the transition.
Yeah, we're probably running long. Yeah, so anyway, so we're going to jump into commentary. So we're going to do the first one. As I mentioned earlier, it was about a reference to Rod's typical stance on the show. It was by Compliant Road, or you know, your approach to
my approach.
All not right, your stance. All
right.
But your approach.
See, you about to mess me up again. Rod's typical stance. See?
So Compliant Road wrote, I'm a big fan of DEHH and I listen to Is the Mic Still On every week. In certain topics on the show, I found Rod to be either insensitive or maybe just too honest about his takes. I get that he doesn't mean any harm because he's speaking truthfully, but whenever he's corrected, he goes on the defense and refuses to let up. If needed, I'll listen back and cite each time it occurred. Nothing personal because I love the whole crew equally. Rod just seriously needs to educate himself on topics such as sexuality, gender, and culture before speaking on them. As a black man, I cringe anytime I hear my fellow man speak out of turn, especially since we as a culture don't appreciate it when someone speaks out of turn about us.
Come on, comments. Mm.
All right.
You say come on what? What'd you say?
Comments.
Oh.
I feel like that was a well-rounded, thought-out comment.
Why?
Because I agree. I think that, like, as black people, my logic with this, and this was something I was talking about on Twitter about, like, I think my logic with how I see other oppressed groups is the fact that I am Black and I know how it feels to be oppressed. So logically, I just, it wouldn't make sense for me to oppress other people and to not, like, naturally, I want to lift other people up. Even if I don't know what the fuck is going on, I just try to do it anyways. And I just learned recently that not everyone shares that logic. So I'm just kind of like confused when they don't. But yeah, I just, that's why I think it's a well-rounded comment, just because it's like, you would think that normally you would take your oppression or your feeling of, you know, other people trying to put you down and naturally lift other people up when they're different. I'm not saying that has necessarily anything to directly correlate with you. I'm just saying that's why I feel like the comment was good.
But that's why I feel like it's not well-rounded, because that's not what I do. A lot of times, like when I said, when I just stated, when you say, oh, thanks for that, it's just it's not a stance thing. It's just a question. It's just me adding another perspective to a conversation. It's not that I'm insensitive or I'm not, like, how, of course I know how to, you know, about masculinity or whatever. I just add different ideas out there. I put different ideas out there. And a lot of people think that's just my stance on things. So that's why I feel like it's not a well thought out comment or whatever, because it's like you're not trying to understand who I am. Like, but I do have somebody that had a well-rounded thought about me and the way I approach topics, you know what I'm saying? But I had to go on my Twitter, because I was like, okay, this dude gets me, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That guy right there seemed like he doesn't get me at all. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Well, you know what? I think it's
so I was just curious that you agree with that.
Well, I think it's also like, I think that people understand where you're coming from when you do that, but I think that people don't want to see you do that, because it seems like you're trying to, like, not from you personally, but you're trying to, like, introduce other opinions that other people don't necessarily care to hear. You know, it's just like when you are, God, what is that thing called? When you,
devil's advocate?
Yes. When you play devil's advocate, a lot of people don't really care to hear somebody play devil's advocate unless that's really how they feel, I think. And so I think a lot of people, it just kind of like rubs them the wrong way when they hear you trying to speak from another perspective.
I think a lot, oftentimes it's the fact that we don't actually get to understand what you stand for. You know what I'm saying? Because you try to bring it from a perspective of, this is what other people may see. This is, I feel where people may come from, but it's like, where does Rod feel?
I agree.
But you know? Just to interject, I like when he does that though. And here's why, because there are people out there that do have those thoughts, even though they're not his own. There are people out there that have those points of views. And by him introducing them to the conversation, it allows people listening and then us to kind of talk through or talk with somebody that we may run into in the real world about their particular stances. So it's just introducing another idea. It's almost like a thought exercise. Like, here's something else that somebody may think about, mm-hmm. and that keeps the conversation from being completely one-sided.
Right, right. So my wife said it perfectly, because she's a big fan of the show. And if anybody understands me, she understands me. So she says that my approach to Is the Mic Still On is that I have conversations while other people have debates. So, like, I'm not going to take just opposing stance on something trying to debate you. I'm just bringing different ideas to the conversation. That's just me. That's the director in me. That's just who I am as a person. Like, of course I have my own thoughts and opinions about things. And sometimes if I feel strongly about them, I'll say what those thoughts and opinions are. But sometimes with topics that I really don't either know about, I'll ask a lot of questions, right? Mm-hmm. Or topics that, you know, y'all are going so one-sided on, I'm like, well, what about this? And then a lot of times when I do that, people think that that's my stance, and it's not. It's just like, well, this conversation is getting really one-sided. I feel like that on Dead in Hip Hop sometimes, which is why sometimes I talk behind the camera, as y'all know, mm-hmm. just to bring different ideas, because it's like, okay, well, wait a minute.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying? But oftentimes, and I agree. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't say that I disliked or liked. Mm-hmm. I like the fact that you do that, and, mm-hmm. and oftentimes when you do, right. I stay quiet, right? Because right. I want you to get your point across. Yeah. But what gets lost in translation at times is, right. where do you stand?
Again, see, a lot of times, depending on the topic, I don't have like a true stance on it. It's just like I'm somewhere in the middle. Like a lot of times I play in the middle, and he was shaking his head yes, because like I said, a lot of people like you. People can choose to hear what they want to hear when I speak on this podcast.
Exactly.
And I get that, but mm-hmm. a lot of times like I'm not interested in getting into a debate about certain things because I don't even like for instance the transgender conversation mm-hmm. like that everybody just was going
which
crazy
sparked
about
a lot of comments
yeah,
on that
which episode. Was going everybody was going mm-hmm. crazy about. I said very clearly from the beginning that I don't have much knowledge on the transgender culture, so I'm gonna ask a lot of questions. Mm-hmm. I don't have a stance like, oh man, yeah, I stand here on this side of this on this topic. I'm just asking questions, bringing different ideas in that other people may have.
No, of course, yeah. of course. But I think that at the end of the day, everybody has something that they believe in, right? Like, because I don't know the trans community like that. You know what I'm saying? I'm not necessarily involved. I don't stay up on the LGBTQ and all of the other letters behind. You know, like I don't. I'm gonna be 100% transparent and honest with that. I know what I know, but I also know how I feel, and I know how certain things make me feel. And I think all I'm trying to say is that sometimes what you feel. What Modest Media feels is lost, and people sometimes want that. Like, I understand bringing the perspective of, okay, you know, well, I feel that this is one-sided, and what about this viewpoint, or what about that viewpoint, but what about Modest's viewpoint?
Is that
sometimes
really necessary?
It's not necessary,
though, right?
I think it is at times. I'm not saying 100% of the time, right? But I think that sometimes it is, especially if it's one of our more heated debates, because people want to.
You just used the word debate,
right? Mm-hmm. Exactly. Okay. And I just clearly said I'm not trying. A lot of times I'm not trying to debate.
Okay, fine. But I just think that. Where you stand sometimes gets lost, and that's what frustrates
I'm
especially
totally
in
understand
my,
that. Yeah.
Let me add to that. Mm-hmm. It gets lost because, and it was something you just said, people mm-hmm. hear what they want to hear.
Right.
They're not listening.
Right.
And Rod clearly leads into every single time, every single
it's crazy.
Point. That this is not how I feel, yeah. or what about?
Okay, so
he never says
no,
this
no,
is
no.
His...
I get that, but then
but,
how but do you feel?
But
so why? So why? So,
not,
so wait, wait,
no,
wait, wait. I, so so not... so why aren't you willing to share that when we are being vulnerable and exposed on these platforms?
If the conversation is one sided, how relevant is it to the conversation? If he's trying to interject something else, so that we can have a full,
mm-hmm. well-rounded
conversation.
But I think that by you expressing exactly what you feel in that moment diversifies the conversation even more.
Not if it's similar to everybody else's.
Not if it's similar, but then just be quiet.
What?
Just
be quiet. Just like the comments. Like,
right,
you
right.
be quiet.
Well, because if you don't have nothing to add, then there's nothing to add.
What do you mean I don't have anything
but
to add?
I can say that you have nothing to add.
But it is an addition, though.
You bring extra ideas to this conversation.
Okay, y'all twisted what I'm saying.
No, it's not. It's not twisted. I don't think it's a response. I just feel, and I just feel as a person that sits on the show that is not a responsibility on Rod. To like, if a person hears one thing, mm-hmm. is and he's clear in what he says prior to giving the other side of it, it's not his responsibility that they didn't understand what he was saying. If he says this is not how I feel about it, but what if?
So
if somebody hears that's his point,
no,
he said it wasn't his point, that's not his responsibility.
But that's where it gets lost in translation, right? Because
Because
let's say if, you know, me, Mike, or whoever else on the show feels a certain type of way about it, right? And then Rod introduces something that we may disagree with. How is Rod supposed to now either debate or have a conversation when that's not how he truly feels?
Because it's brought to the table for all of us to talk about the thing he introduced to it.
Okay, and let me pause you right there. So we talk about that, right? And then we poke questions or holes into that, but then he can't defend it because that's not how he feels.
But it's not about a defensive thing. I'm not trying to defend anything.
No.
Right, because it's a conversation, not a debate, remember?
Yeah. But understand how we do what we do. Right? Like, I have a stance, I have an opinion, I have a belief.
And you're just going to say it.
And I'm going to say it.
Okay.
And that's what the whole topic of conversation is. Rod may feel that it may be one-sided or we may be losing certain perspectives. He interjects a perspective. We may disagree with that perspective, but then now he can't he can't necessarily back up that perspective because it's not his perspective.
No, what I can back up is why someone may think that way. And that's what I normally do. Like, I was like, okay, well, this is why somebody may feel this way about this. And that's the approach that I normally take.
It seems almost synonymous.
It can be poked holes into.
To me, it almost seems synonymous as, like, you putting on somebody else's shoes and, like trying to think how they would think, but then it's also kind of like people, it's a blurred line between, like, does he really feel like that, or is he just, like, why
but that
is
just
he...
goes back to what I initially said in the beginning, that this is not my stance. Like, when I ask you, like, well, do you
it
see
just
it
seems
as...
odd that you would choose to do that.
But if he says before he introduces it, this is not how I feel, why would somebody think that that's how he feels when he clearly says that in the beginning?
It just makes no sense to me. Every time it's so confusing.
Well, I think at the end of the day, I think a lot of people's question is, like, if this isn't how he feels, why would he spend so much energy on it? And then now we're having a discussion on why he would, because he wants to bring other perspectives to the table. But if there's something that, like, let's just say me and FIFO disagree with, and it's just blatant that we disagree with it, we not fucking with it, no matter how you slice it, fuck that shit. And he brings up another reason as to why, it almost seems redundant in a way, to me anyways, like, why we would explore 5, 6, 7 other opinions on that particular thing. Because it's like, we've already said why we don't really fuck with it. So why are we going to now bring this up from a different route and see why that could be the case? Like, it might work for some discussions, but for some, I feel like it just doesn't really work.
I think sometimes it prevents an echo chamber. Like, everybody just kind of saying the same thing.
And that's what I be hearing, really, man. It's just like, okay, this is, and it's not like I do it intentionally. It just naturally happens. It's just like, yo, like, this is really one sided, and I know that there's a group of people that doesn't feel this way. So let me introduce something else to this conversation. Like I said, I may not have a strong stance or opinion on it, but I'm able to see it from a different side. And defend that side. So when I start defending that side, it's like, oh, he's taking that stance. Well, I'm like, no, y'all asked me, how could someone possibly think that way? Like you said, like, I don't know, we had a conversation about babies or whatever some one time, and it was like, I don't know, I think you and Mike was like, y'all hate babies and whatever. I don't know what it is, ill or something. But I would take a stronger stance on that on myself because I have a child. You know what I'm saying? So I could take a strong stance on that. But some topics, like the tanning girl, I don't give a shit about that. It doesn't. I just don't. But I can bring to that conversation, because Sophie was very adamant about how white women are, you know what I'm saying, profiting and taking, you know, opportunities from black women. And I'm like, okay, so at what point do you think is flattering? I'm not saying that it should be flattering. I'm just bringing something else to it because your opinion is so strong on it.
Yeah, I get that.
And that's what I do almost every time.
I think, at least for me, and it's not like I have an issue, like, because if I ever had an issue with you, you know, I talk to you off camera. So I don't have an issue. It's just that, like, sometimes when I'm sitting here in my seat and I'm listening to you, I see, and that's why when I get quiet, it's just because I let you handle whatever you need to handle, right? But at the end of the day, sometimes I feel that you're trying to kind of defend a stance that isn't yours because you're trying to introduce something else. So when somebody questions you about it, it's kind of like, if that's not truly your stance, then how can you truly understand where that person might be coming from if that's not how you particularly feel?
So you're saying that you can't understand someone else's pain or agony just because you haven't experienced it, or anything, or no, just the way they feel about something, just because you haven't experienced it yourself?
I put it to you like this. I know me personally, I struggle with that, right? Like, I didn't know what anxiety was until I had an anxiety attack. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know, the wife would always tell me that she feels anxious, and in my head, I'm like, what does that mean? Like, how can I understand something that I haven't gone through at any type, any form or fashion until it happened to me? And I'm like, okay, I get it now. You know, so certain things, and I'm not saying that this, you know, is everything, but certain things sometimes is just kind of like, how can you truly understand what somebody, now I can see how they may, but how can you understand it? And then defend, because at the end of the day, we have conversations and arguments and debates here, right? So how can you defend something that you don't truly stand behind. Like, I don't know. I just, to me, that's my biggest.
See, again, you're putting it in a debate stance. It's not like I'm just defending it. I'm just solely trying to explain why someone may see it from this perspective. It's not like I'm defending this side. It's just that, okay, this is why they may see it from this perspective. And then people start jumping on me as if that's my perspective. Like, I'm just saying, like, no, this is why they may see it this way. I may know people in those situations. I may know whatever, or have studied certain things that I may not necessarily agree with, but I know there's people out there that experience these things and think this way.
And I think part of the reason why I understand how and why he does what he does is that I'm always interested in both sides.
Right.
And, you know, so I'll listen to podcasts about Democrats and podcasts with Republican stances as well, because I want to hear both sides of the argument so that I can understand, like, what each person is presented. At that point, I pick and choose what I want to do. But, and I remember, you know, Mike and I, we used to sit and eat lunch together at work, and we would have all kind of conversations. We were talking about Roland Martin once, and, you know, he doesn't like Roland Martin. And I recall, I was like, well, I'm interested in his show because the people that call up, they are not always well informed about what's going on in the world of politics, but they present an everyday average man viewpoint of something. And those are the people that, you know, that you also have to speak to, and you also have to kind of understand. It gives you a viewpoint from just a regular old Joe Blow, that somebody just sitting around just living their everyday life. And for me, that is always valuable, because it allows me to kind of get a full picture of what's going on with a particular topic, or how different people can think and feel about a certain thing, instead of just this is how I feel and that's it and nothing else is this.
Right. And I don't necessarily always like that approach. It's like, this is just how I feel. I don't give a fuck about how everybody else feel. You know what I'm saying? Like, I could do that, but that's just not what I choose to do. And I can speak about shit the way I want to speak about shit. It's not up to you to tell me, like, well, Rod, what's your stance on this? Well, Rod, I don't give a fuck about you having these different perspectives. What's your stance? I don't have to tell you that. Like, I may not have a true stance. I may not even have formulated that yet. But what I can do is bring it from a different perspective. And you're trying to project something else on me that I'm not even saying. And that's what happens a lot of times. And it's crazy. It's crazy.
But
it's,
I think it's just a failure of the people out there that's listening.
Yeah. But obviously here too, it happens here. It's not just the people listening. It's here too that I experience it. And I'm just like, yo, like, that's why a lot of times I'm just like, yo, sometimes it's,
well,
like,
you know, yo, what though?
What the hell?
I don't really feel like you can fault people for that, only for the fact that, like, for example, it's six people on the show, and let's just say like 4 out of 6 do this thing where there's a topic presented and they give their opinion on it. The two outlier, like the two, let's just say two people who don't do that, they're going to be grouped in with the other people who directly give their opinion on something. So it's kind of like, unless you explicitly say, hey guys, I'm not giving, this doesn't resent or reflect what I'm, how I actually feel about this. I don't really have a particular feeling about this topic. I feel like you should just be more explicit about, hey, I'm giving another perspective alert. I'm just doing this, you know, some type of red flashing light or something.
I think he does that though.
I don't think he does it all the time. I don't think he does it all the time.
I do.
I think he does.
Because he always start off and be like, well, you know, from another perspective, what I do, he always kind of start off by saying
I always
that.
Do.
I really don't feel like he does.
And even if I don't, somewhere in the conversation, I say it. Trust and believe.
Like, literally
do
somewhere
it.
Towards the end when Mike is like chewing
no,
you out for
no.
it.
No, sometimes I'm like, look, I'll say, look, bro, look. I'll stop in the middle of it when I notice that it's happening. And all right, maybe somewhere it got lost with FIFO saying, mm-hmm. and somewhere it gets lost in translation. I say it again. That's why I say it's weird, because it's like people hear what they want to hear. Yeah. And I'm just like, whoa, y'all didn't say. And a lot of times if I choose to like come defend myself on Twitter or whatever, I'll say, yo, so you totally missed when I said this. This isn't even my stance. Like, yeah. what are we arguing about right now? You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. I just don't understand. Like, and a lot of times I get into it with Mike. It's like, bro, I'm not even on the opposing side. I just brought in a different perspective that you are trying to project onto me as if it's mine. And that's just not it.
All right. So taking that and moving to the transgender, the trans woman that commented about our discussion last week. It's rather long, and I'm getting over a cold. Sophie, would you mind reading this? Because I don't want to do all that breathing, trying to catch my breath.
Okay, yeah, sure. All right. Hey, so I'm a trans woman myself, and I just wanted to chime in with some information about the trans topic covered in the last episode. Transitioning is a very long process with a lot of steps, and one of the first medical procedures is what's called hormone replacement therapy. This is the process through which a trans woman lowers her testosterone levels and increases her estrogen levels to match that of an average cis, not trans woman. Oh, thank you for adding the little like quotation. Okay. Anyways, in addition to emotional changes, this brings a lot of physical changes. Concentrations of the body of body fat shift, more around the hips, less around the waist, etc. The subject will grow breasts, the hip bones will widen, the skin gets softer and bruises more easily. The muscles break down and begin to resemble the muscle structure of a cis woman. The degree of muscle mass lost is more intense than people think and can be so dramatic that many trans women go down an inch or two in height. And go down a shoe size. Most trans women find they struggle with things like opening jars and lifting things and are generally no stronger than a normal cis woman. Second paragraph. On the subject of prisons, it varies from case to case. Some trans women get put in men's prisons, but others get put in women's prisons. This is actually a big issue for trans activists because trans women face disproportionate levels of sexual assault when put into men's prisons, which make a lot of sense when you think about it. It's also important to recognize that hormone replacement therapy causes a drastic decrease in libido and erectile dysfunction, which should be taken into account when discussing concerns about trans women sexually assaulting cis women in prison. Also, the surgery just refers to the sexual reassignment surgery. A lot of people think a trans girl just walks into the operating room as a man and walks out with double D cups and a pussy. But transitioning is actually way more complicated. I will say on this note that there is a trans girl transitioning at my job right now. And I'm not one of those people who, because I feel like I'm an ally, I'm going to like overly bombard you with a shitload of questions because I just feel like that's rude as shit and like super like that's none of my business. You know what I'm saying? All I'm there is to ask you what to call you. And if you want to talk to me, I'm open, you know? And I just like, am so thankful that she's so like open to discussing things with me. Cause she'll pass me a lot of times, like when I'm at my office and she'll be like, hey, like it would make me feel better if I could like tell you like what's going on with me. Like, do you mind if I share? And I'm like, oh, let's get into it. Like, what's up? So we'll talk. And it's so interesting because she says that now, like her experience was like basically feeling trapped within herself like the last couple of months before she started her transition because she felt like she had to be under one name and under one gender, but it wasn't the one that she identified with. So when people called her that, she felt like people misgendered her, but it wasn't really misgendering her because nobody knew. So when she went into the transition and stuff, she literally felt like she was like fighting with herself essentially. And then when she came out and like started like, you know, doing other things like wearing lipstick and taking like going like on her hormone therapy, she was saying that being that she's been on basically both sides of the spectrum now, things are really different with her transition. She said that like since there's not, and this is her experience, but she says that since there is no like actual uterus, things are like as she takes like the estrogen and stuff, it's almost like she's experiencing period pains, but it's not because it has a uterus to go and filter out through. She just experiences the pain of it. She also says that she sees colors differently. And like the shit that like when guys walk into Sephora with us and we'll be like, what should I get my nails done? What color should I get? Or should I get this red or this red lipstick? And y'all are be like, man, it's the fucking same. Like, whatever. It's like really a thing where like some, like a lot of men for real, like lack that particular thing. Where it's like they just don't like they be like it's the same shit or it's the same paint color, honey. Or just fucking choose a shoe. I don't care. It's the same thing, you know.
Damn.
They said that that's actually she said that it's actually literally different. And she says that her sense of smell is completely heightened. Like she smells shit that she never smelled before. Like, and it's crazy because I mean I wasn't gonna be like drilling her about this, but the fact that she just wanted to share, I think it I think for her, sharing her experience kind of helps her like normalize everything and like be more comfortable with that. And I'm so open and just blessed that she even like gave a shit to like let me know about that. But I just thought that that was crazy.
Yeah, and what's the Reddit username?
Sanity Assassin.
Yeah, thank you for
sharing and yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you for putting the parentheses. Send your questions to isthemicstillon@gmail.com or to our Twitter or to our Reddit or to our Facebook or to our... Okay, that's all the things I know. Great. So we have a question.
Thinking of a name, ain't you?
I am. I literally cannot say this name. Arnold.
Is it a male or female?
Yeah, Arnold. Okay. Hey, y'all. My name is Arnold. I'm using... a throwaway account for obvious reasons. I know you guys don't like long questions, so I'll keep it short. I've been dating my current girlfriend for 2 years. Our relationship got a little rocky after our first year and a half. My girl was honest with me and told me that she wanted to open our relationship because she was afraid of potentially cheating if we didn't. I was feeling similar things, so we decided to open up our relationship because we both believe that we still want to be together and we see each other in our futures. The open relationship was fine at first, but then I found out that one of the people she's been having sex with since we opened up the relationship was my older brother. I still love her, but I feel really betrayed not only by her, but also by my brother, and I don't know what to do. Help.
Damn, like, man, that's my chance to slide in. Yeah. Right.
You know he told her. You know he told her to do that. I'm like, here's what you do.
You go in this open relationship. That way, baby, we can go get it on. You know
oh my god.
He can't say shit because y'all both agreed on
right.
it.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. Super fucked up.
How would you feel? Because I know you have brothers.
Yeah. Nah, that's super fucked up. Mainly because you know your brother's your brother. Like you can't. Even if you put them like at bay and you don't fuck with your brother. Like
he's still there.
That's still
y'all
your
still
brother.
Share parents.
Still you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Exactly. So that's why it's fucked up, man.
I'm sorry. What was his initial question? Like, what was the question?
What should he do?
He needs fucking help. He didn't
he's
even ask
with
no
her,
question.
Right?
What should he do?
He just wanted to know what she do.
Man, that's super fucked up. Mainly because now you got to start thinking like stop laughing.
See, he agreed on it, right?
Again.
So he can't be like mad at her or nothing like that because he agreed on it.
That's what I'm saying. My eyes when Sophie was reading it, when she was like, "Yeah, so I want to be in an open relationship." I was like, "Oh my god, you about to get played?"
Yeah, right. Yep.
But the older brother thing that's like kind of fucked up because how do you even talk to your older brother about that? You know, how do you bring that up in conversation? And then if you leave Shorty. Older bro still gonna be smashing the hell out of that.
You still, gonna see her.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. I don't know how you go about this one.
It's a bad situation, bro.
It's a super bad situation. There's no way to remove yourself.
Right. And then she brought it up, right? She was suggested it first.
Yeah, she the one that brought it to the table.
You fucked up, bro.
And he agreed to it.
So you know what? She probably wanted older bro the whole time and just got
you know
first.
What? That might not be the case, though.
Maybe. Like,
so what's this case? What's the case, though?
The case might be he was trying to slide in. She was like, well, I mean, now that we have an open relationship, you know, whatever. You know.
You don't think he was trying to slide
in
before?
But the brother, though? Like I just think that even if you have an open relationship,
there
needs to
be
boundaries.
You never know. They could live together or whatever.
Who could live together?
Him and the brother might be roommates. You never know.
Yeah. He didn't explain that.
But what I mean by saying that there should be certain boundaries, my family members are off that open relationship.
They should have talked about that before.
They should have made some rules. Like,
you
fucked up there. Yeah.
Nobody that I know,
definitely not my older brother.
Definitely not someone in your family. Yeah.
Yeah, that's, man.
Better your brother than your dad.
It's damn near the same.
It's messed up all the way around. So
it's damn near the same.
It's both gonna sting.
If it's your dad, you gonna feel different.
It's both gonna hurt. Stop the madness.
You're gonna feel different.
It's gonna hurt either way.
Yeah, it's gonna hurt. Yeah, it's gonna hurt. And you know what? And it's the betrayal because you would figure.
The betrayal?
Oh, come on, Ken. What else?
Because as my brother, I feel like there's nothing I would do to cross certain lines and boundaries. You know what I'm saying? Like, even if, like, one of my brother's wives or girlfriends came on to me, I wouldn't take the bait and I'll go adjust my brother. Like, hey, bro, yo chick out here, you know what I'm saying, XYZ, you can believe
me. What if he told his brother and, like, told him, like, the situation him and his girl was in? Like, we in the open.
Hold on, wait, say that one more time.
I'm just saying, what if he told his brother, like, yeah, we in an open relation, you know, like, we both.
So then your brother go in there and slide. What I'm saying is that as the brother, right, as the older brother or the younger brother or the brother that is trying to slide in because you're in an open relationship, as a brother, mm-hmm. I am not doing that because right. there's just certain right. lines and boundaries I won't cross regardless of whatever you got going on with your chick.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, how can you do that and be cool? Like, I
that's not like a Jerry Springer.
That is a Jerry Springer episode. But you know, and here's the thing. Because I know I could be a very petty and vindictive.
Here we go.
I'm just saying, because if you leave the situation, you know the older brother's still going to smash.
Gonna be smashing.
And I'm going to feel even worse that I'm not smashing, but you still smashing.
Oh, my God.
No, I'm just saying, I'm being honest.
Y'all need to take advantage of this situation, to be honest. Stop. They really do. Brothers Grimm, y'all need to really take advantage of this situation. Like, y'all got the same girl, bro. Like, y'all need to flip this shit, tag team, and all kinds of shit.
You,
like,
you might as well explore it for what it is now. You might as well. I'm with you, Ken.
Your turn, bro.
I'm with you, Ken.
You don't have to close the door or nothing. You
make the best situation out of it now.
Oh, my God, man.
She might enjoy that.
Just bring you a gallon of water.
Huh? She might enjoy it.
She might. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
You're in an open relationship.
Yeah.
Y'all need to put that on the table. But like, look at back.
There we go.
Everybody wins.
Everybody wins.
You go. I need you to
we
kill
all
you
on
this, Sunday.
Yeah. We all in this thing together.
There you go.
Three's not a crowd today, baby.
Kill your Sunday. Cause you boy. But look, I'm with Ken on this one. I'm typically not.
That's funny. Yeah, man. I think. Ultimately, man, you got to charge it to the game, man. Like, I mean,
he agree.
I mean, you got
to
charge it to the game, bro. Like, she chose your brother to die.
Yeah.
I mean, like, what you gonna do?
He didn't want to do it at all. He was thinking about it as well.
Right. So it's like,
But I feel like she kind of conned him into it.
Here's the thing, I don't disagree with you with the whole boundaries thing. I do agree with that
as a family member.
Typically, anybody with an open relationship has boundaries.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm speaking from like personal experience, not a brother, but like a. Like a close friend or whatever started dating like a ex of mine, and it's just like we were like we played ball together, mm-hmm. everything. Like I said, it didn't affect me, but it kind of did. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
It was like one of those things where you look for like
I was like, yeah, I don't care, whatever. It was just like seeing them together. Yeah. It was just like it was another story. Right. It was just like
because you probably in your mind thinking you probably would never see them together.
I knew I probably would at some point, but it's just like
when it hit.
It was just like I don't know. I'm trying to explain. I'm trying to go back in time. This is high school.
I know.
It's because of the rabbit hole. Because then you started to try to link. Damn, remember when she looked at that nigga like that?
Oh, not that for me.
That's what it would have been for me.
No, it's not that for me. Like. Ultimately, I didn't care, but it was just like a part of me that did. Just that.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. Just a part of me that just was like, well, damn. That's what, cause it's not like I wanted it anymore anyway. Yeah. But it was just a part of me, like, damn, like you really with my friend.
That
like,
just happens.
Yeah. Like that just happened. Yeah. Like you really chilling with my friend. Yeah. Like
you really, you're still around.
And, right
next to my best friend. Saying?
So it's kind of like a brother type of situation in a sense. So cause part of me was like, damn, bro, like you took that on.
Anybody?
I know she liked it. I mean, dog, like. Why you want my seconds, dog?
Right. Out of all the girls, you got the one.
But let me ask you, right? Like, it won't bother you that obviously this is your homie,
uh-huh.
and you dated her once upon a time.
Yeah.
She was around him. You know what I'm saying? So like,
I never thought about that because when she's with me, I feel like she's with me.
No, I get that. I'm not even talking about her. I'm talking about the homie. So like you don't like
he was looking the whole time.
Exactly.
Type
I don't care about that. I don't care about my homies looking at my girl. Cause
No.
All right, go ahead.
Looking at your girl is one thing, but plotting like man, that nigga.
I don't think it wasn't a plot thing. That's what I'm saying. I don't think it was a plot thing. Like when he leave, I'm sliding in. I don't think it was that. I think she liked him. She liked him, and then he just took it. And I'm like, well. And like the nigga in me, I'm like, man, I mean, shit, don't turn it down.
That's
pretty Tony. You know what I'm saying?
I go be pretty Tony.
Right.
Show the game, man.
Show the game.
He chose me. Like,
and that's how I looked at it. Yeah. I was just like, I mean,
can't get mad.
I don't care anymore. It's not like I was with her and then we broke up and then she just got with him. It wasn't a situation like that. It was just like,
yeah, no,
I wasn't with her anymore.
Yeah.
And he he got with
y'all
her.
Y'all both moved
like,
on.
So is there a statute of limitations? You know what I'm saying? Like, is there a certain amount of time before that's okay?
Nah, I don't know, man.
So if y'all would have broke up for like 1 month.
Well,
and
here's
boom.
The thing. Like you got to know that we actually broke up. I want to say he came to me like, yo, you good? I'm like, well, you know, I'm good. Yeah, whatever. He came to me. He asked me.
Okay. So that's respectful.
Yeah, that's
and you made the decision. Yeah. So yeah. I'm just saying, like, in this scenario, if we lend that to this scenario, older bro should have said, hey, bro, your
you
chick
good?
Came at me. Yeah.
I need
hey,
a follow
look.
Up.
You know, it just because I don't think that you should just take up the bait like that.
Yeah,
would
you,
with
you
your
out?
Brother.
All right.
How did
right.
you find out, bro? All
right. Oh.
No, go ahead.
Now I was going to ask mm-hmm. FIFO, like, okay, so your brother dating him. Super bad chick, like you attracted mm-hmm. to her, or whatever. Mm-hmm. And
both my brothers got beautiful girls.
Right. But I'm just mm-hmm. saying, like, you are like really, really attracted to mm-hmm. her, right? And then they break up, and then she's like, but you know, I know y'all dated your brother, you know, but I like. Wait. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I like you. Asking a married man, he gotta like put just, himself into perspective.
No, he's
not, it's not even that. It's not even that.
Yeah. But like she really like, no man, I really, you know, I feel like we, you know. We would connect, da 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 da. I really da 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 da. You saying that you would never ask your brother like, yo, is it?
Nah,
I wouldn't.
That's the lamest setup ever. That's not even realistic.
It is.
No, you got to think about
What's
it.
Not
like,
realistic.
Y'all run into each other at the club type shit, or like, you know, like.
Oh, no. Well, okay, so okay,
you know,
that,
like
could,
something more as, natural.
Okay, cool.
She's not just gonna come up to you like, so.
Of course,
I'm just saying I don't know what the situation is.
He's not painting the scenario. He's just painting what like the contract. You said the negotiation. Regardless of however it got to that point.
That's the same shit I deal with. Like, you know what I'm saying?
But the
like,
negotiation
yeah.
part. You know what I'm saying? The scenario is irrelevant, but the negotiation.
Yes.
I know I couldn't do it. I know I'm me personally, and maybe it's just because I feel that responsibility of being the oldest brother. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would never do that to my brother.
No what matter if, how much you think you, you
what
like
what if it was Beyonce?
Nah, bro. Like, I know she, look.
What if it was a Kardashian?
Nah, bro. Yeah. I wouldn't do it.
Just to break it full circle, right?
It's just that's, to me, that's a major boundary that
that's
I would never
would
cross.
Now, no matter how, okay, so what if it wasn't like a just serious relationship he was in?
Like he smashed a couple times and then that was it?
He was just like, yeah. And what if he gave you the go-ahead?
Like okay, so look. So my middle brother, Alex, he's married, and then my youngest brother is having a baby with his girl, right? In those scenarios, I wouldn't touch them.
That's a serious relationship.
But let's say if my brother, like when he first moved out there to Dallas, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying, he smashed a chick, you know what I'm saying? They was cool for a couple months or whatever, but then he moved on, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? And then all of a sudden, shorty, you know, trying to hit me up. I would ask, in that scenario, I would ask my
brother.
And that's
all I'm saying.
Yeah, but that's completely different, though. That's not his girl. That like, if I'm just smashing, that's like damn near community. You know what I'm saying? And then I'll respect that was your property once upon a time. Hey, bro, do you mind selling the used vehicle? I'm just saying. You know what I'm saying? Can I take it for a test drive,
too? So for you people,
too?
The serious relationships is not boundary for you. The serious relationships is like the no boundary
yes,
for you.
Like,
but the
no.
jump-offs is like,
yeah, the
right,
jump-offs,
cool.
Shit, that's everybody jump-off.
It's open field.
Yeah, that's everybody jump-off. But I would still ask, like, hey, bro, you know, like, shit, you done jumped off. Can I jump off? That's a little different. That's a little different. But nah, like if you're dating, like if you like you've gone out, like you know my sister-in-law, your mm-hmm. and brother-in-law's mm-hmm. names, and
yeah.
you know my
yeah.
mama and shit. Nah,
yeah.
I'm good.
Yeah.
Nah,
yeah.
you dated that, I'm good.
Right.
But if you just smash it.
Yeah. Hey, clearly the messed up part about this is that it's an open relationship
yes,
type of thing. You
right,
know what I'm saying?
Right.
That obviously, that's, it's not like they broke up
right,
or whatever. You use this open
relationship
opportunity
thing.
To sleep with my older brother.
No,
like, that's kind of crazy. That's kind of crazy.
She was about to do, man.
That's kind of crazy.
But who is more egregious in this situation, the chick or the brother?
I think the brother.
And that's what I'm saying.
That's
and
fucked up.
Like the chick, okay, look, if you have.
I don't know, man. At that point, it's just like. This isn't a serious relationship.
Yeah, I agree.
And you just got to charge. That's why I said you just got to charge to the game. Like I thought this might have been serious, but nah,
but
you want an open relationship, and then you want
right.
to see my brother. It's like okay,
chalk
at that
it up.
Point,
chalk
yeah,
it up.
We this is not a serious
you
thing.
Chalk
this
it up.
Is just a
because
sleep
and
thing.
What Buddy said mm-hmm. At the beginning of what his comment to us or his question to us, he was saying that we both see each other in together in the future. Hell, motherfucking
nah, not anymore.
Nah, not like, at all. Not. It can't happen. It can't happen. I'm not sharing my wife with my brother. Man,
yeah, that's
get
fucking
the
weird.
Fuck out of here. That,
yeah, bro, Rod is completely right. Yeah. Charges of the game, that's a wrap. Because you cannot
just
marry this woman.
Yeah. Just have fun with it at this point. It is what it is.
Yeah. Best case scenario is what Ken said. Like, you just caught an L. Like, you just got to
And don't open yourself up no more.
Yeah, bro.
Goddamn.
Learn. Learn from this.
Tag team. Back again.
He sound like he's speaking from experience.
Yeah. Dang. Oh, shit.
That's amazing.
Oh, man.
All right, man. That's going to do it for us this week. We'll catch you guys next time. Please send all your questions. That one was actually off Twitter, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, beautiful, man. So Twitter, the DMs are open. Send us your questions on Twitter, too. We read those also. And that's going to do it for us this week, man. We'll catch you guys next time. We out. Peace.